For many years, drug companies used young, healthy male volunteers to develop their drugs. And then they were surprised that it didn't work in old people. Of course, there's a huge change in the proportions of co-transmitters and the expression of receptors. In surgery, the surgeons don't realize that when you cut a nerve, or when you've got trauma of a nerve, the other nerve changes. It's not a control at all. Changes its composition of co-transmitters. There are lots of examples of this now, and of receptors to these transmitters. So it's a very plastic system. And that's very important to realize that in development and in surgery and trauma and in pathology in particular, and even between the sexes with the hormones, changes the proportions of neurotransmitters. It's not a problem to work out which co-transmitter is the principal one and which are minor ones in any given situation, because they change with time. Let me give you some important examples. And the way you do it is with selective antagonists. You stimulate the nerve, you record a response, and you find out which proportion of it is blocked by noradrenaline blocking agents, which, if it's sympathetic co-transmission, and which is blocked by purinergic, P2 purinoreceptor antagonists. In most cases, P2X1, if it's a smooth muscle. Now, the interesting thing, for example, we talked about sympathetic co-transmission, and I said that the proportions vary. There have been several descriptions of sympathetic innervation of arterioles in the gut where ATP is the sole transmitter and the noradrenaline that comes out acts as a prejunctional modulator. Do you call that a purinergic nerve? Or, well, I'm against nerves anyway, but that's so that there are other places like renal arteries where the dominant transmitter is noradrenaline and ATP a minor effect. And then there are interesting things in pathological situations. For example, in spontaneously hypertensive rats, there are now four or five papers showing a hugely increased ATP component of co-transmission in hypertension. And then there's another example in the parasympathetic innervation of the bladder. I think I mentioned in the experimental animal bladder, it can be 50-60% purinergic and the rest cholinergic. But in the human bladder, the normal, healthy human bladder, we were disappointed to find that only 2 or 3% was purinergic. So it didn't look as though it was going to be very interesting as a therapeutic development. But it turns out in the pathological bladder, in the interstitial cystitis, in the obstructed bladder and neurogenic bladder, suddenly up to 40% of the parasympathetic response is purinergic. So the proportions change in development, in old age, and in pathological conditions.